Episode 467, February 17th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
It's a f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe Chat Room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Check, 1, 2, 3. So we're coming to you on a President's Day. Of all the, like, the Monday holidays, this is the worst one, right? This is the least interesting, least... Like, there's no events, right? There's no barbecues.
Daytona 500 is today, but only because they postponed it.
Right.
They have parades.
Really?
They do a President's Day
Where?
Parade?
Old Town Alexandria had one today.
Okay, well, that doesn't...
By the way, parades, we've talked about this, suck.
Yeah.
Parades are horrible.
And I'm talking about a national... Like, the Rose Bowl parade is a national parade, the Macy's Day parade. This is Alexandria, Virginia. There's 100 people there. It doesn't count. Doesn't register.
The Dale City Parade. Yes. Nobody gives a shit.
So what are the Monday holidays? Memorial Day?
Oh, yeah. Labor Day.
Those trump this.
Oh, they destroy this.
No pun intended. President's Day. Trump.
Those are the two Monday holidays, though, right? Now, some might fall
is
on
Is there
Monday.
A Martin Luther King Monday? That's a thing, right?
It is.
Yeah, we don't get off for Martin Luther King Day. Does that say something about the company I work for?
But you probably treat that with more reverence.
I treat neither with any reverence.
No reverence, you know what
I mean?
Joe Robinson.
I mean, I respect a lot of the presidents, and I respect Martin Luther King.
But it's one guy versus just presidents. It's not as interesting.
I never really thought of how much I respect a holiday. You know what I mean? I never...
If you had to rank your holidays.
Oh, Christmas 1, Halloween 2.
I want to go to 10.
Thanksgiving 3.
So Christmas 1, yeah. You have Halloween above Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. Halloween is a... You know, marketing-wise... Commercially, okay. It's the second biggest holiday.
Well, we have murder. We don't have a Thanksgiving murder mystery.
Hey, yeah.
We should do that, though. We should have Wednesday night before Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving
an
murder mystery? Yeah. Somebody chokes on some stuffing and
of course.
Ends up there with a...
We do a New Year's one-off. Why not?
Yeah. We should do Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Thanksgiving's my favorite holiday.
It is?
It is.
More than Christmas?
Yes.
No, I think generally... Those are the big three. Well, 4th of July is in there for people, too.
4th of July is a big holiday, yeah. Easter is pretty big.
What about, so you're saying, but President's Day, is this the bottom of, like, is there one?
That when you get off?
Yeah.
When you get off work?
This is the worst one.
It's the worst one that you get off work for.
Okay, gotcha.
Well, no, I get off work the day after Thanksgiving. Is that a holiday?
That's just your work not screwing you over. Anyway, we're coming at you. Joe and I were over at the nearby biker bar, Larry's Tavern. What's it called? Is that it?
That's it, Larry's Tavern. Yeah, shout out.
I thought you were scared to go in there.
It's during the day, so.
Oh, I got you.
Look, he acted like this is a badass place. We played shuffleboard. It ain't that badass.
It's fun, though, right? Well,
it's a lot of fun.
No, it's not badass now at 2 o'clock on a Monday.
Well, there's still a shuffleboard table in there.
There is. Hardcore. But they have two tiles that are painted in there, and they're ceiling tiles. One is Ravens, the other one's Harley Davidson.
Nice.
It's a biker bar.
Yeah, no.
Was it happy hour?
I don't think they have a happy hour.
The regular price are like $2 for a drink, so I don't know.
I got a rum and Coke, and she opened up like a little like single of Coke and poured it in. Yeah, they don't have a gun.
I thought your drink was vodka and Coke, Joe.
Nah, change up because you guys shit on me.
Mix it up.
I changed up to a real drink.
Yeah.
I saw Malibu back there. I was like, I can't fucking order Malibu. But, these guys will fucking destroy me.
But Robbie, what song do you think Joe went and played on the jukebox? Again, he was trying to play a song that
was you would not play in that.
I'm like, what would be the best song that would be hilarious to play?
That's
in this?
A famous song. It's a song everybody knows.
Before
True Colors by Cindy.
No, before you know Upbeat. I gotta go Upbeat. But before you guess, here are the three things that they talked about. They talked about the Daytona 500.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about Trump, and one guy talked about eating a crab cake at a new place.
Yes.
And these guys are going, hey, where are you going on your birthday? To his wife, or they asked him and his wife. And he goes, well, we're going to go out to eat, but then we're going on a cruise. Her birthday is after that, but we have to save our money back up. So, like, they've already spent their money, their birthday money for it. That's where we are.
So this is one of those jukeboxes where it's digital, so you can download shit. So it's not just their selections. You can go off the grid. But although this is a famous upbeat dance song,
it's got to be a dance song, yeah.
Is that a fair assessment of this song?
I believe it's from the late 70s, I believe.
It's Raining Men.
No.
It's in that family, though.
It's white people sing it. How's that?
Yeah, white people sing it. Non-Americans sing it. How about that?
ABBA?
Yes.
You got it. What song?
Dancing Queen.
Yeah, Dancing Queen.
You got it.
Yeah, pretty good, Robbie.
Good job, Robbie. Robbie Robinson.
Yeah, folks. Dancing Queen I played. Nobody flinched. I just let it play. I just let it rip. 76 is
but
when that's from.
For the record, Dave Wilkerson and Rob Mayer defeated Joe Robinson and Gary Hickman in shuffleboard 3 out of 3 times.
Oh, man, this is definitely worth talking about on the Robin Joe show.
You want to break down every
yeah,
throw?
You guys want to talk about every point. They did.
Just
matter of fact, it was 20-20. In the last game, and Rob actually won the game, if I'm not mistaken.
It's pretty exciting. So we've had a big weekend. I've actually had 4 straight nights of doing comedy, or murder mystery.
Yeah,
so.
And we had some huge, huge murder mystery shows at McGoobie's. We did. We performed for every seat was filled. You couldn't put one other person in there.
Max seating 350 a show, 700 people. And we did this without Robbie Robinson. It was spending Valentine's Day with his lovely girlfriend, being a romantic at heart. Or Joe filled in, was sound boy.
Yeah, it was. Robbie's put everything on the computer, so
yeah,
it was not.
And you did a great job.
It was not hard at all. As soon as everything was set up.
This is the issue, Robbie, is that McGoobie's. We love the club, but sometimes when there's a lot of people, they for whatever reason end up understaffed, which is obviously nothing we can control, and. A comedy show, you want to stretch a comedy show, pretty easy to do. But our show, you need to pay off, there's acts, there's, at some point.
People are like, I'm ready to go.
Right, I want to find out who killed this person.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, you can stretch to a degree, but at some point you're affecting the.
The product,
the
yeah.
The product, yes.
100%.
Right. You know, it's not Mickey headlining, he can just do another hour with his pants off. So they had. Through no fault of his own, Andrew, some last-minute people in the kitchen just
bailed
out,
yeah.
Bailed. So the food was late getting out for the first show in that we were told basically, you know, a third in that we're going to need to stretch, which I don't like because, there's the timing.
Well, the show
this.
Has an end.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. It's...
So this is the first show.
First show, correct.
Was this during the intermission that you had to stretch or actually stretch the show itself?
Well, we knew we had to stretch from at the death.
It was hinted to us early on that that was a possibility. And then pretty much after act one, it was like, yeah, we need to stretch.
Whoever the person, not Sydney, but the girl up front that was wearing the
Nicole.
Black and white. Yeah. She brought up right as the thing was going. She goes, "Can you stretch 10 more minutes?" This was as you were. I was like,
"Oh my god,
we're done. We can do nothing. We're at the very, very end. There's nothing we can do."
A lot of
time
to stretch in that show.
Yeah.
So we, by the way, great show. I mean, everyone was really on their game, and I think what has happened here is we did this show originally back in I think it was August at the Rams Head in Annapolis. And on our first show with these things, we generally have that first show where we're focused and we crush it. And then we had a layoff till February. We did the Bright Box, and then we had to get our legs under us. And then we did Amp Thursday night, which we'll get to that because we have a little side story about that. We broke up a couple good times. But and that was good. You were there for that, Robbie. But like I think we really hit our stride Friday night at McGoobie's.
Yeah. I mean, there was one real bad moment at the end of the first one when we had to stretch. It's
well,
the fault
but that's
of having to stretch.
Not having to do with the show, though. In terms of Tommy and Eric nailing
yes,
the song,
yes, yes.
the chemistry,
and everything, yeah, they nailed
and, everything
it, yeah.
and people getting their lines, the little tweaks.
Yeah, everybody nailed it. Yeah, right. Yeah, there was no mistake.
Haiti was great. Everybody, Joe was hitting everything. So, but anyway, we're trying to stretch here at the end. And we had originally foreseeing that it was going to be a tough turnover from 350 to 350 for, you know, two sold out shows. We were going to eliminate some of the winning team names that weren't funny to just read the funny ones. But now we're like, no, we have to read every single one because we're trying to stretch. And we read ones that didn't win
table eight.
That were wrong.
Yeah, we
that
know,
had
we know.
Funny lines. That had funny team names.
That's true.
So at some point we're doing this stretch thing. And Joe is still up in the sound booth giving me the stretch song.
Yeah.
So I say to Katie, there is a table of eight people.
I can barely listen to this. I was so uncomfortable when this happened. I didn't want to relive this.
I'm the loser in this scenario, Robbie.
Yeah, so because you have to be up there. On the
I'm
stage.
Up there.
Oh, God. I don't even want to hear it. Go ahead.
I said to Katie, there was the group of eight people at the table right, stage right, four couples. And I said, find one, and my idea is that I'm going to bring a couple on stage, and we're going to act like he's here to propose on Valentine's Day to his girlfriend.
Oh, no. They don't know it's happening, by the way. Oh.
And I'm in my mind, he's going to propose with confidence. She's going to say yes. They're all going to think it's funny, and then it's going to end. Well, he comes on stage. They look very unsure of what's happening.
Because they weren't. They didn't know what was happening.
They didn't know. They weren't. And this is a thing that maybe it works if I can spot the couple and I can read them and know what works with my comedy instincts. But if I'm going from Katie to telling her to do something that she doesn't know, I asked her to do something really hard. So she brings up a couple.
God, I'm going to take my headphones
and
off.
And I said to him, I know you're here tonight, Greg, whatever the fuck your name is, to ask your beautiful girlfriend the question you wanted to ask her. Go ahead. He's like, what am I doing? He's not picking up on it.
Oh, my God.
And this sits
well,
out there.
Even if he was, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's probably like, I don't want to do this.
Right. It was clear.
She's not in on it either. He's going to think I'm proposing. She sets up saying yes. And so now.
But it took fucking begging.
100% we broke them up. They
I think
fought.
We did.
Oh, no doubt. They fought. Oh, God. I can't even want to think of it. I've been watching a lot of Curb. This is what that was.
It was very Curb. There was no, it never got non-weird.
It never did.
And that was the show. Thank you. Good night. So now.
So you just laid an egg right there.
Laid an egg at literally the last thing we did. So I'm upset because.
But also
like,
stretching it, right? That didn't help either. Yeah. We have this great show and all of a sudden it's gone, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm pissed because here it is. I'm like, this is my ego here. Look, I wrote this fucking show. And it sold out, and we crushed. And now I'm the fucking loser on stage. I'm the only one that literally had no funny lines, that I added nothing. All I added was negative.
And then the thing you did at
right.
the end was
exactly. So I'm the fuck. Why is he even involved? That's what the crowd is thinking. In my mind, they're not really thinking
Boo!
That. But right, but that's what I'm thinking in my mind. I'm the fucking least valuable person in this team. And that's my ego's like, oh, fuck. So, look, when the show ends, people walked out. They had a great time. And to our defense, if they, and we'll get to the second show in terms of who's to blame here. But in the early show, I don't think they really sensed that we were stretching. But if there's a kitchen issue with food coming out late, they obviously know that's not our fault.
Yeah.
They're not going to confuse the food out with us.
But
now,
what you really want to do is you want to have 700 people have an amazing experience and then they're customers for life. That's the best case scenario. Not, and again, I'm not, things happen, but, you know. How are they going to know? Yeah,
and with a whimper.
I don't know how many of those people are going to want to relive this experience.
Now, I think in our head that's a lot of it because I don't think the show, when they left, they were super happy. So that's I think we're over. That's my own insecurity thinking that. Now, they might have been. They're definitely upset about the food coming out late, but they're not going to blame our show. Fast forward to the late show, which is starting 45 minutes late.
Late, yeah.
And you have to sit out. Stand outside in line.
It's probably the coldest day of the year.
And it was the coldest day of the year.
Yeah.
So at one point, Hannah, the manager, was like, or I don't know what her role was. When do you guys want to start? We're like, we want to start as soon as you possibly can.
Yeah.
We're ready. We're literally ready right now. We do that show, and I think.
We made jokes about.
We acknowledged it.
It being not us. And that helped. You know what I mean? Like, we're in this together, right?
But we had some team names. I forget the one, but there was two that referenced. The incident. The show time is supposed to start at 9:45. We had a great team name, Robbie. It's 9:45 somewhere. And there was another one basically saying that with more words that got huge applause breaks when we read them. But that show, at the end of the day, it crushed. There was a moment. Was it the early show or late show? There's a line in the show where Arnie Timber is reading, talking about having sex with this guy and the dirty talk was bad. And he says, the line is, he called his penis Wakanda and said, and it could go on forever or something to that point. And she called, she read it as Wonka.
like Willy Wonka. Yeah.
So then Justin was like, you know, Willy Wakanda and the chocolate factory. That turned into a whole thing. We ruined Black History Month. It was a great moment, right? But he had a moment with this black guy that was the best man. That guy found me at the show. I was like, hey, where's the wedding planner? I need to talk to him. And Justin already left. But I was like, he wanted to like just go up and just like hug him how amazing that experience was.
Oh, cool,
was. Yeah,
cool.
It was super cool. He's like, dude, just tell him I love that. It was so awesome.
Yeah.
So we crushed. And I think the late show, well, first of all, the early show is the dinner show. It's Valentine's
Day.
Right. If you had Valentine's Day, you probably went out to eat earlier. So, and then they pared the menu down to just chicken wings and tenders.
Right.
So I don't think there was any food issues. Because less people were ordering.
But they already had to stand out there. You couldn't get them their food. They couldn't do that.
So then we're in the situation where how do we like not shit on the club, but also not let them know it wasn't our fault that the show was late. But having said all that, it was 700 people, and I think both shows are great. They had a great time.
Yeah, they were.
So obviously, we have to just take it as a win.
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, what you want to make sure is that people return to that show. Yeah. So I hope we gained some customers and we didn't lose any.
Well, here we are in 2020.
Was it a joke that Eric and Sean had to cook or something?
Well, they were seating people. I think that was a joke.
No, they were seating people, yes. But we'll get to the comedy show for that, Robbie. But I would just say to talk about Dialect Productions one more time. This is 2020. We sold out the City Winery in D.C. We sold out Jam and Java. We sold out early show Brightbox. We almost sold out Amp, and we sold out two Magoobie shows.
And you're not even counting New Year's Eve.
And New Year's Eve.
Which actually ran into this year.
Exactly.
That was another gigantic crowd, yeah.
So we're on a super hot streak. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More drama from the weekend.
Hi, this is radio personality and morning show host Justin Schlegel back to tell you about the newest interactive, hilarious whodunit from Die Laughing Productions, Hit Me 90s One More Time. In this show, I really get to stretch my acting chops. I play a radio personality. This time, we're taking you back to the 1990s. You're at a radio station promotional event where listeners battle it out for the hottest concert tickets of the year, Ace of Base. Everything goes smoothly and no one dies. Not, actually, some unlucky person will not just be losing their religion, but meeting their fate. And top market DJ Slater in the Morning, that's me, must solve the murder. Hit Me 90s One More Time also stars two princes, Mr. Jones, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions comedians, and most importantly, you, the audience. Come celebrate the 90s with us, for all we really want to do is have some fun, jump around, and help you get through this semi-charm kind of life. Don't miss Hit Me 90s One More Time. Eat, drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Next performance, April 11th at the Bright Box Theater, Winchester. Tickets are on sale right now. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
You want to talk about the couple we broke up?
I mean, it's fine with me as long as...
You don't need to name the names. But...
Okay, there you go.
So there's a Thursday night... Okay. Bryce.
I don't even know her name.
It's fine. Let's leave it out.
Yeah.
Amp on Thursday night. Bethesda, Maryland. Nice room. And... we have a comic friend of ours, not someone we've ever spoken about, not really much on our radar.
I don't even know if I know him.
Right. It's just a fringe comic friend. Tommy Sambazo says Bryce is bringing his new girlfriend to our show. They show up. Bryce is an average-looking guy and not like a rich guy. And not anyway, this girl's a model, legitimate 10 out of 10, a DC 10.
Somebody,
LA 10.
Somebody on our cast said, you're not going to believe how hot Bryce's girlfriend is. Mm-hmm. Okay. He came into the green room. I was walking out and I saw her. I knew immediately it was her.
Yeah.
I go, oh, he's back in the green room. And I took her back there because I already knew it was her based on what another cast member said.
A legitimate 10 out of 10. tall model. I mean, everything.
Was he the guy with the man bun?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, we made a lot of comments. And I think we even said that to her jokingly.
Yes.
So fast forward. I am doing a show now Sunday night in Frederick.
Which is where she's from.
And where Bryce works and lives near there. He shows up to the show. I go, hey, where's your girl? He goes, yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird. She was uncomfortable. We kept, like, you know, making fun of us being together. And she took it to heart, and it got really weird. And now we're... So I'm like,
is he mad?
It was awkward, right?
Oh, man.
Then she shows up. And she sees him. He does a little awkward wave. She purposely doesn't go next to him at the bar. And then they sit at the bar separate from each other. So it's clearly, she acted like I wasn't expecting to see you here. So it was weird. Fast forward. I have a really good set. I'm headlining. We all go out afterwards to this bar next door. I'm pretty sure I'm a taken man, but I'm pretty sure I'm closer to dating her than he ever was. I'm pretty sure after one night.
Congrats, man.
So thank you. I'll take that. It's my model non-girlfriend.
Yeah, I get
but
that,
but I feel
too.
Like we did. I feel like we did not help him.
By the way, for when people say that about me and Katie, I don't take it as an insult.
No.
I'm not. First of all, I know my wife is way out of my league, and I love that. So whatever, you know.
But
so it wasn't going to work out
anyway.
The
issue was, does Katie take it as an insult? That's the issue.
She might take it as an insult because she loves me and anything happens at my expense, but I don't think so because she knows I don't care. You understand what I'm saying?
I think we've dialed that back a little bit.
But it wouldn't even, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? It's nothing. You know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
No,
and because it doesn't bother
you,
me.
I'm talking about for her.
Because it doesn't bother me, it doesn't bother her. If she thought it bothered me, she wouldn't like you guys
but
doing
she
it.
She loves you.
That's what
she
I'm saying.
She doesn't think that. She's settling.
Right, but what
so
I'm saying is...
So we keep making fun of that.
Listen...
Because we've all dialed back on that.
If you said... But why? Like, you think...
Because we don't think she's settling. We think you're a great guy.
Okay.
So the joke
Thank
is...
You. So...
Obviously, there's the age is the age. You can't...
Right.
That's a fact.
But what I'm saying is that if you were talking about that you thought my car was a bad color...
Right.
If she thought that bothered me, it would bother her. Does that make
right.
sense? She doesn't care if anybody has fun at my expense unless she thinks somebody's really trying to attack me. Like, we played Quiplash. She couldn't sit in the room. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it doesn't bother her, because she knows I'm not bothered by it. Not because it's not true, which it clearly is.
And the reality is, a girl that's as hot as Katie or as this girl, a guy that is the equivalent of your hotness, that guy shouldn't be dating. He should be just hooking up.
Yeah, that guy's...
You have to date...
That's Alex Rodriguez, right? Is
yes.
that what, right?
You have to either be a celebrity, or because if you look like Katie as a guy or this girl as a guy,
yeah, it's tough to.
You're playing the field. You shouldn't settle down.
Most
right?
likely, unless that's what you want to do,
right?
Even with your,
or yeah. you have to be, yeah. Maybe you got through that in your life, but I'm just saying. Usually, a girl that hot is going to date under her attractive list.
The real issue here is how secure the girl is.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, I also think I don't think that she thought. She never considered him a boyfriend.
Oh.
I think she thought they were just hanging out.
Oh, well, that's different.
And then suddenly she's like, what, you portrayed us as something that we weren't? I didn't get an insecure vibe from her. I got that she just, I don't think they were ever boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, they were not
they
on the same page
the
in terms of what the relationship was.
And that, by the way, that could be no one's fault. That could just be misreading things.
But you guys definitely ruined his chances.
100%. Oh, we didn't help. Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we didn't
I think it's fair to say we did not help. So fast forward to Saturday night, or is it now we're going backwards? Justin is headlining.
Sean's featuring.
Sean Gabbard is featuring. Eric Woodworth is emceeing. I had a private gig at this country club in Fairfax. Went well, no story. But so I get there for the late show, and more issues in the kitchen. Apparently. Actually, we shouldn't say this because this could get people in trouble, but that actually could get people. Never mind. There was a rumor a rumor has it Eric was making chicken wings. Just a rumor. Probably not true.
I wouldn't know how to make chicken wings, would you?
Well, I'd know how to put them in the fryer. I don't know how long to keep them in there. That's the.
Yeah, I guess if they told me, I don't know how to lift that basket, do you?
Yeah, you just, I mean.
With your hand?
Well, there's a handle. Yeah, I could do that.
Do you have to wear like a glove? It's boiling hot. Yeah.
Well, no, you're the glove. The handle isn't hot. Never mind.
It's not. If you put boiling grease in there, it doesn't.
The handle's
make
outside.
It's metal. Okay, I'm just saying. Sometimes you have to pick up a pan with a pot holder, right? I'm just, you know.
But the pan is only hot if it's in the oven. The handle's not hot. It's on the stove.
It's not?
No.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it happens sometimes, right?
Not really.
You see that on Chopped all the time. Do they use a towel or a glove or anything?
Hey, I'm pissed off. I tweeted out, let's be for real. Dinner's the best meal. Dinner's clearly the best meal. I love breakfast. I do.
Yes.
But the best meal is dinner. Right. When you get your steaks and your fucking lobsters. Yeah.
Yes.
So then people are texting, no, breakfast for, okay, no, breakfast. Scrambled eggs are not better. They don't have fucking omelet week on Chopped. They make dinner.
Yes.
That's where the gourmet
for dinner is fun occasionally, but it's not.
God, it makes me crazy. Yeah. What are you arguing about? Dinner, it's the fucking climax of the eating day. Dinner.
And people mention brunch. You know what I eat at brunch? I eat breakfast food. That's all I ever eat.
I do love breakfast. I love it.
But to me, brunch is I just eat breakfast later. That's it.
Right. Yes.
I'm not eating lunch food.
I love breakfast.
Yes.
It's not better than fucking dinner. All right. Hey, I went to get breakfast with Sean, who stayed. He stayed this weekend with us because, you know, he lives in Richmond and the shows are here. And so me, Kate, and him go to eat breakfast. We go to breakfast and we go to the Nautilus Diner. And they used to have these mints. You know how they have like the jelly in the middle? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yes. They're like butter mints. I loved them, right? I go out there. I go, oh, fuck yeah, I get to have these mints, right? I'm thinking about these mints as I'm going around to pay, and they have a bowl full of Starlight mints.
Oh.
Okay, now listen. The girl's there, the waitress, she's in her 20s. Hmm. She could be 19, but she's in her early 20s, okay? And I go, oh, man, what happened to the mints? She goes, oh, we haven't had those for a while. I go, oh, really? They were so good. She goes, well, they were only temporary. I go, no, I remember when you built this place, and I used to live here. That's all the mints you served for like a decade. She goes, well, they weren't very popular. She fucking wouldn't let it go. Oh. She literally said they weren't very popular. So now I'm like, okay, I'll just have a little back and forth with you until you start fucking coming at me. And I go, oh, so you're saying that people like these red and white Starlight mints? That's what people, they like this better? That's why you went with this?
She was fired up.
Well, she's fucking full of shit. Nobody likes Starlight mints better than a butter mint filled with orange jelly or whatever the hell was in it.
I agree.
God,
you will say, though.
But don't you think that's ballsy of that girl to say that? They weren't very popular. Again, she was either in her very late teens or early 20s.
But I will say a $10 breakfast is better than a $10 dinner.
Oh, easy. Yeah, 100%.
So you can get
$10 dinner is some shit usually.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if no price was the option, you're going to get more things you like for dinner.
Yes, you don't go to Capital Grill for breakfast. I don't go to I don't want to spend, you wouldn't spend $150 on breakfast.
No.
Okay. Well, there's a reason for that.
So.
Well, they weren't very popular.
I show up to Magoobies. Sean Gabbard is featuring. He's on stage. He's getting close to the end. Justin is waiting to go on. He goes, I mistimed my shit.
Justin said this.
Yes. He goes, I need to shit. And he's holding the wireless mic. And he says, I'm at some point, probably in the middle of my set, going to explain this. I'm going to go into the bathroom with the wireless mic so I can keep talking, telling jokes or whatever. Take a shit. I'm like, why don't you just let go now? He goes, well, Sean's almost wrapping up. Why don't you just tell Eric just to stretch? I mean, he's the MC. He can just do 5 minutes. It's like, nah. So he committed to this bit. I'm like, to me, the obvious answer is, no, Eric just bullshits until you're done shitting, right? That's what you do, right? He goes, no. So he does about 15, 20 minutes.
Does he mention it as soon as he gets up there?
He does.
Like he's preparing, he doesn't?
You know what? He did mention it at some point. He did mention it.
Okay.
Yes. He mentioned it early on. He did. You're right. He mentioned it right. Well, first he did the whole thing about how his coming out is not gay, which was, you know, classic Justin. So he mentions that he's going to have to shit. He teases it. And then he does it. He literally goes in the bathroom with the wireless.
Oh, my God.
I followed him in there. Eric went in there.
You're in there, too?
I went in there just to get a video. And then Eric does video where he's reaching the camera phone above the stall. Got a nice shot of of Justin sitting on the toilet. Well, he's talking. A guy walks in.
Uh-huh.
A guy, not a guy from the showroom.
He's
a guy
from Wits End. Okay,
who
the
doesn't
bar.
Know what's happening.
Right.
And he's like, so we try to bring that guy on stage. He wouldn't do it. But I'll put it this way. It's a funnier story than it was in actuality.
Oh, really? People weren't laughing?
Well, they were like, is he really shitting or is this a bit? I don't think they could tell.
Was he going,
ooh? He needed some obvious, more obvious shitting sounds.
He didn't do that.
I don't, maybe it wasn't in him.
You mean it hitting the bowl or his,
I think it needed to be super obvious. But it's a great story.
I prefer not to hear it, the shit hitting the bowl.
It's a great question.
So
you asked me a question, by the way. You and Justin were debating. You're a comic. You know, you only have one good joke.
Right. When
do you tell
it? Better
to open with it or close with it?
Yeah.
And then I said, go in the middle. And neither one of you would pick that.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I'll pick it. We'll talk about that. So I said the beginning. Because if you only have one good joke,
right,
you have to experience them not liking you. Let's say, even if you're the MC, for 9 minutes, okay, right?
How long is this set? Are we?
I guess that's that doesn't. If you're doing 45 minutes, then who gives a fuck when you tell it, right?
All right.
But if you're doing 10, okay. If you do it at the beginning, they're like, "Oh, that was really funny," and then you get some residual laughs from having been funny.
Sure.
But just to sit there and suffer and die that death. Up until the very end, where finally they like you. Maybe they leave happier, but your experience is worse. Maybe that's about my known narcissism. I'd rather do it up front and lose them than
and just
have them just fucking hate me until the end. Yeah.
See, I say middle because the beginning you can just bullshit about how you're doing, things are coming out. You can.
Yeah, but if you're not good, you can't do that.
Well, it's hard to fuck that up.
You're saying not.
I'm saying you can't bomb by saying.
You're saying you're not telling any jokes right now.
Yes.
You're like, hey, guys, thanks for coming out.
Right.
Appreciate it. This is, you know, my eighth time on stage. My name's Joe Robinson.
Yes.
This is my first time in this club. Yeah.
Without them turning on you.
Appreciate all the support. All right. Let's get started.
So you do that. Then you tell your first joke that sucks.
Right.
You tell your second joke that sucks. Then you tell your best joke. And now you're halfway through.
And then you tell three more bad jokes.
And they said, okay, at that point, they like you. If they in it right there, they like you. And then
so you're talking to them. Hey, Bubba, you're bullshitting. Maybe you get through a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe you get through a minute.
Good for the last guy. Yeah.
Then you tell a joke it doesn't work, and you go, hey, sorry, guys, that's new. I have a good joke.
Sure.
It's coming, I promise. It's not the next one either,
right.
But you're going to get it.
You can shit on how bad you are.
Then you tell the next one, you go, okay,
yeah,
that one didn't work either. This is the best joke I have, so
right.
If this doesn't work. Then you tell them they laugh. Okay.
Yeah, and you might get some residual laughs on your
right,
next
till
trip
the end,
sucks.
And at the end you just right. die from the... Right.
You guys are giving a lot of skill to a person who only has one good joke.
Well, we had a friend who only had one good joke. And
Bird Knight?
He told it at the end. Yeah, he would tell it at the end. And it would crush.
Right.
And then everybody liked him because he had one good joke.
Yes.
Now, he never made it past MC, obviously.
But you're still holding on to your going first theory, first joke.
Yeah,
like you're talking
I guess not. I guess I'm not. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having the MC career of Bird Knight. One fucking killer joke at the end.
So, Robbie, any questions about this weekend?
I don't know if this will be interesting to the audience, but I did wonder if they were so short-staffed, they managed to have somebody up there to help you set up for the sound?
Well, set up for the sound is just basically just plugging one cord in. It's not... But
yes.
They had someone, but they didn't really know what
yeah.
they were doing. We figured it out ourselves.
Yeah, they had one. It says, it writes it on there. It says the audition or whatever, the one for the back, right? The mic all the way to the far left, Robbie.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Announcer mic. The announcer
right,
mic.
Right, yeah.
Then you have the two stage mics.
Yeah.
Then you had the sound, the music that was playing. That was
and,
it.
And,
That's
and what about what about the lights?
So then there was a board there that said pre-show. Show lights and fade to black.
So they already had that on and ready to go for you.
That was up there. No, the girl said she gave me this code. It was a four-digit code. Yeah, I just
logged in.
Yeah, and I just pulled it up.
Okay.
And then I had that soundboard that you put up, which is, you know, that thing's easy.
Yeah.
On your laptop.
Yeah. One thing you wouldn't have been able to handle this. So there's one part where we have to do the fade to black when Justin's in the crowd. So we have to do the house lights and fade to black.
Yes.
And the sound. So I had three of them. And I had Hannah helping me, and she didn't show up.
Oh.
So I had to make a decision. What would you have done, Robbie? I could only do two of the three. What would you have done?
I would have not worried about the house lights.
That's exactly what I did. And I just did that and worked, and that was it. Matter of fact, I said, I went back, and I go, oh, man, that sucks. I couldn't. Nobody was back there with me. And Rob's like, I didn't even notice.
No, you, I thought, not a perfect game, but no, it was a shutout.
The board is what makes it. You can't really do it wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
With the thing, the soundboard.
I've never seen
I wouldn't know how
board.
To create it.
Right.
But Robbie creates it, and so you just hit the buttons.
And the songs, everything sounded good?
Yeah, everything sounded good.
And you did, I think it worked. You kept the You Make My Dreams loud the whole time at the end, introducing
Well,
us,
I had
the
music
too
loud at the beginning. And I came back to you, and I go, is this too loud? And you go, yeah. And so then I turned it down, and then you go, yeah, it's still too loud. So at the beginning,
I mean during the very end of the show.
Yeah. Well, you told me to do that, so that's why.
Well, I thought it was easier to not have to worry about it. But it worked out.
Oh, yeah. When I did the... Yeah, because that's how they would have done it, I think, in a wedding. When I was announcing it? Yeah.
You used the lectern, or what did you do?
Yes.
Yeah, lectern, yeah.
Excellent.
The, what's it called? The music stand, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Well, Justin and I have got the timing down on that Ed Sheeran thing, so that's become a big pop in terms of reading those lyrics.
Yeah, it gets a good laugh, yeah.
So we finally... You know, I was thinking about... this other company that does murder mysteries. And I was thinking about how, like, they... Because, you know, Justin has... He's reading. He still has, like, the script in front of him as he's reading it.
Right.
But their advantage is... I'm not saying it's an advantage, but they're doing the same show.
Yeah.
For, like, 2 years straight.
Yes. But there's also...
And the lines are more spread out.
And the other thing is that we have one guy who kind of drives the show.
Yeah.
He doesn't just have, if he was memorizing it, he'd also have to memorize the whole script.
It's a lot, yes.
Because if they miss something,
yeah.
Or you'd have to memorize it, and everybody would have to be going back and go, no. But because he has the book, he can just be like, oh, what you meant to say was blah, blah, blah. Yeah,
so I don't even think.
It doesn't hurt that he doesn't remember. He can't. It just can't be done.
I don't even think, it's not a cop-out either. I think it's the right way to do it.
Because
in April, we're doing three different shows. In like a week period, 2 weeks, we're doing 90s, Love and Marriage and Murder, 80s in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you don't think you can remember.
But this other company's
scripts.
Not doing. They're doing a year straight of one fucking show.
Yeah, and I guarantee.
At the same venue
and
every
the time. Same venue,
exactly.
Too. That helps.
Exactly, yes.
We should go and see one of those.
I would like to do that, yeah.
You would?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
Can I say this? I went to see Wicked yesterday.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because I saw that with Tawana.
As a matter of fact, let's take a break, and when we come back, I'll tell you guys about
Done.
It.
Done. Our Patreon, folks. Let's pump this baby up. Patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. We delve deep. We tell some inside stories, some things that we don't really want out there, but are entertaining, clearly, about our lives. We share. It's a trust tree.
It definitely is a trust tree. We have been let down on one occasion, but for the most part, people really do respect the Patreon.
Yes.
And I will say this. What is it? $5?
Yeah, you can get as little as $5. You pay a little more. You get some free things like we had, I believe, Sharon Bailey. You got tickets to a murder mystery for being an excellent patron.
Yeah, sure. And that costs way more than what the Patreon costs, right? So,
yes.
But the thing is that if you even are on the fence or considering it, give it a shot. See if we're telling the truth about there being things that you can't. Because I think if you sign up, you can go back and listen to all the episodes,
you
right?
Get them all.
You can kind of timeline it. Some of the stuff's out now that, you know, like me interviewing for the sports position on 98
yeah,
Rock.
Yeah, that happened. And how,
yeah, that didn't work out. But there's a lot of things that we really pull the curtain back on, and it's real. Things that we definitely can't share. And again, I can't reiterate how much we have to trust our listenership to keep that stuff under wraps.
Tequila.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So, yeah, it was a 1 o'clock show.
It's weird.
And the first thing I thought of when I saw this is how much our murder mystery sucks. When I saw this, I mean, but then you think about it. I don't want to say how much the tickets are, but they're ungodly expensive to get them. And we're close, but so we paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
And what are they doing, like an 18-day run of this thing? So there's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars being poured into whatever it is, but they have hydraulics and this. You know what? One thing I noticed is their mics sounded so fucking crisp.
Yeah.
So they have these elite.
Well, they have a budget.
Elite sound people, these elite stage, I don't know what you call them, stage hands or whatever. You know, you got to spend money to make money. And they, these, the actors that they have, people are so fucking, they're just doing off Broadway in Baltimore, but they're so fucking talented.
No,
man.
They're elite.
And, yes,
but
it's
also
amazing.
This is their career. Like, this isn't Justin's full time job.
No, no, right. That's right. What I'm saying. If we could, but I wouldn't even, how would you start that? Do you know, I'd have to go to Mike Chamberlain. Who else would you go to? If you needed to know how to build an elaborate set, who would you go to, Robbie?
I mean,
What you do is you find a producer and they gather all the people you need.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. You just get to call a producer. Okay. Cool.
Well,
no, I'm saying
a producer in that would know.
A theatrical producer is going to know the people to assemble.
Let's say we wanted to do that level of show with our murder mystery. Who would you call?
Well, you're going to have to get some investors first.
Who would you call? That's my question.
I would ask Michael first.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Mike Chamberlain is the first person I would call. You know, because it was fucking amazing.
I'd call Koechner.
You would?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you'd say,
has he done theater?
He's had to have. He was. Well, he did Second City. I'll guarantee you.
He's going
to
know people.
Yeah, you're right.
Theater for sure. Yeah. Look, what we're doing with our murder mystery is, look, if we're all committed to this and this is our jobs and we could practice,
we could put on a show like
we could have everyone mic'd. You know, we're doing things with like one hand behind our back.
The only person I know that can write music is Eric Woodworth. He'd have to. All the music would have to be by him and Jeremy Woodworth.
I'm for that, yes.
And actually, Tommy could, you know what I mean? He could build a set.
Of course.
So we have these people already.
We do. But look, we're doing comedy clubs. All we're trying to do is be better than a comedy show, which we are most of the time.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's much more of an event than a comedy show.
We're not performing on Broadway, where they're used to seeing an orchestra and an elaborate, and every actor is a fucking, I mean, that's the hardest acting there is.
Can I tell you
Broadway? That's the elite, right? There's no better than that.
Yeah, the best. Yeah. Well, I mean, unless you're talking about actual, you know, A-list screen.
But even
know.
They do Broadway. I mean, that's.
I would imagine. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
They might be better looking or more charismatic.
But yeah, but not much.
Bradley Cooper, for instance, he can do both
the
equally
man,
well,
yeah.
And it really is a different skill to do it on stage versus on film.
It is. So did you like the play?
I fucking was blown away by it. I thought it was so good. I remember, this story is more than 10 years ago, a comedian named Mike Diesel. Are you familiar with Mike Diesel?
I'm very familiar, yes.
He came up to me one time at Wiseacres. I only went to Wiseacres maybe four or five times in my whole life.
Yeah, I went about 1,000 times.
And he said, my wife had an idea for a Broadway play. And he goes, it's from the perspective of the witch that got crushed by the house.
Mm-hmm. And the Wizard of Oz.
The Wicked Witch of the North or whatever the hell, East or whatever she was. And I go, isn't that the plot of Wicked? He goes, oh, no, it's nothing like that. He literally was telling me it's not exactly what it was.
Right.
But he's pretty much stole the plot of Wicked and represented it as his wife.
Sounds about right. The real question is, did Frank, your father-in-law, enjoy the show?
So this is, talk about a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment. So,
hello?
So... we had really good seats.
Yeah, I saw that. You posted this.
We were probably, I don't want to exaggerate, maybe probably 20 rows back, 15 rows back, maybe 15, something like that. And I'd say 15 or closer. So right in front of us were the people that were doing the sign language in order to, so the deaf people could enjoy the play.
Gotcha.
I can't hear you.
So.
Jesus, Robbie, on it.
He's like, man, this is ridiculous. I can't stop looking at the person who's doing the signing. I want to enjoy this play. He's like, I'm going to complain. Okay, he's like, no, you're not going to complain. You're not going to complain that the people that can't hear are able to enjoy the show and you're distracted by them. You're not going to do that. He was this close. And I had another Curb moment. I'm going to jump out of the Wicked story real quick. So I actually worked out on Saturday morning. Sean Gabbert stayed over Friday night. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go work out.
Right.
I go, well, right across the street is Planet Fitness. That's where I am. I can bring you there. He goes, no, I like to go to the YMCA because they have a sauna. I go, they don't have a sauna at Planet Fitness? I don't know, right?
Right.
So anyway, he goes his way. I go my way. After I'm done working out, I walk and I see these little rooms. I'm like, huh, I wonder if they have a sauna. I walk into the room. It's a tanning room. I'm in it, and I go to read the sides. I'm standing with facing out, and a guy who works there and a girl who's just got her, I guess they have to, you have to tell the front desk you want a tan. They just walked in, and I'm standing in there like I'm waiting. It was, now, I have my earphones in.
All right.
He shits on me, but I don't know what he said. It's like, oh, sorry. And he goes, blah, blah, blah. And she laughs. So whatever he said about me, she laughed at it, but I was so fucking humiliated because I was creeping in there whenever, yeah, I had to run out of there. Today, I go to work out, fucking see that guy. And he looks at me, and I 100% he recognized me as the fucking creepy guy who stands in there and waits for you to come in and tell.
You're the creepy guy.
Yeah. But anyway, Wicked was fucking awesome. It was a blast. Here's something weird. Tell me, what are the chances of this? That's in Baltimore City. Mm-hmm. We drive all the way almost home to get something to eat. We go to this little dive Italian restaurant in Glen Burnie. How many people from the play are in there?
All you mean them. The cast or the people in the audience?
People in the audience.
Oh, okay.
There were 12 people that were sitting there. Wow. So it was sitting in the same time. It'd be the equivalent of them being over at Larry's.
Did you say hi to them?
Yes, I do. Well, I was like, hey, those are the same people. And then, of course, you know, Frankie's like, hey, you should say something to him. Tell him you're Joe from 98 Rock. He's always shitting on me or whatever. So, of course, I do. I walk right over and I go, hey, you guys enjoy yourself? I'm Joe from 98 Rock, man. Good to meet you. And I rolled out.
Nice. Should we do a Wizard of Oz murder mystery?
Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably highly illegal, right?
Yeah, probably.
Isn't that movie in the public domain already?
I don't know.
Does that? I don't know the rules
we
there.
I don't know how that shit works.
Yeah, that's your job, Robbie.
Come on, Robbie.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, Are you threatened, Robbie, by your brother doing sound? Is this going to be your brother-sibling rivalry?
No, he's safe.
Sound no, rivalry? I'm excited that he did it and did a good job.
You looking forward to getting more days off?
Yes.
You couldn't be safer, Robbie.
All right, so let's wrap this baby up. I'll be in Columbus, Ohio this weekend with Keckner. Funny Bone.
Oh, that's cool. And we don't have any murder mysteries till April, which, to be honest with you, I'm pretty excited about. We really went gangbusters, yeah.
Pretty hard, yeah.
But I'll be on 98 Rock this Thursday, and then next week I'll be on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So,
what about the idea that they had someone on this morning that wasn't Rob or Joe?
That's a news person.
Yeah, who was that?
Dawn White.
Oh, her, okay.
That's fine.
They've asked me to do news before, but they don't like it. They like to use Phil Yakubuski or Roel Melzer or Dawn. Right. They like to use them for news.
Gotcha.
I'm not too threatened by that. By the way, news is work.
Yeah. No, fuck that.
You have to prep it. I don't mind prepping sports because it's fun, but prepping news, that sucks, which I've done, but I don't love it.
Well, I saw Walker Hayes in Frederick, and she says she loves Gramps hitting on her constantly.
She does? She likes it?
All for it.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Yep. Gramps will be happy to hear that.
Yep.
I'm sure. What if she said, I really don't like it? Do you think he'd stop?
Nope.
You don't? Don't think she said, please, he would. Dude, I was watching Ghostbusters.
Oh, wow.
Me and Sean were. Dude, Bill Murray, when he first meets Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dude, it's completely, you couldn't, talk about a movie that couldn't be made. All he has is hitting on her, going into her bedroom.
Yeah.
No, they would hate this movie.
Yeah.
All they, innuendo.
Canceled. Oh, yeah.
Bill Murray canceled.
Yes. If they see, they go, oh, you thought that was funny? Ghostbusters can't be seen anymore.
Hey, I caught up on JL, Righteous Prick. And if he ever, like, goes to, like, murder someone, has a shooting spree, people listen to the podcast, be like, yeah, I saw it coming.
Yes. God, he's angry, so man. Angry. Yeah,
it's
just
gonna
relax.
Be like, people are going to be like, yeah. They're going to be like, are podcasters the next great wave of mass shooters?
Did you hear his protest of the, he wasn't going to go to a movie theater that didn't pay their employees time and a half on Christmas.
Well, I got to respect that. I mean, the guy has some morals. So you got to make a stand. I never stand for anything in my life, so good for him on that. Feel free to shit on
all you, yeah. I'm always, and my point now is there a point where JL realizes that none of it means anything and he just stops all this?
No, never.
That never happens.
You know, your life has to mean something to you.
Dude, I'm 51. I've been there. I went to a homeless rally. I used to wear a shirt that said, homes, not bombs. I swear to God, I did. Like, they took all the money that they spent on bombs, they just built everybody houses with it.
It
was a fucking idiot, right? But I was an idealist, and I loved people, which I still do. But now realism has crept in, and I realize I'm not going to inconvenience myself to make no difference at all. I'm not going to do it. To make no difference?
He has a platform, and he wants to tell people.
Yeah, but also his disposition is such that he can't influence people. He can only rile up his own kind. You know what I mean? He doesn't. Right. There's nobody's going to change their mind because he makes the way he makes his argument is such a talk down to that you would never be like, oh, I understand.
He has to talk down.
Right, he's going to intimidate you. But then once you go into the voting booth, he's not there. You can do whatever the hell you want. You can come out.
The only person who's on the other side that's listening is you.
That's true, Joe.
No, that's not true.
He's weeded out any Trump supporters.
Oh, because they can't stand him. Well, no.
Well, why would you fucking listen to a show that just calls you the worst person of all time?
Yeah. You're right. You're right about that. Yeah. Hey, that proves I'm not a Trump supporter. He always calls me a Trump supporter all the time. Yeah. That proves I'm not. I'm listening, right?
A Trump supporter this day is now anyone that doesn't campaign for the most left Democrat.
Well, I just heard now Trump -160 in Vegas, -160. So what that means is you have to bet $160 to win 100.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to be your next president. So, of course, I said to JL, I'm like, hey, would you do it differently? Would you not try to impeach him because you probably are going to make him stronger?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, I stand up for what's right.
Stand by it, JL. Commit 100%. See it through.
Yeah, but you act like if you're a prosecutor, you don't say, all right, well, we can't convict this guy. Or we're going to have difficulties, so let's get what we can get out of him. They don't know. You're like, nope, I want him convicted of all these crimes or he goes free. You follow what I'm saying?
Not goes free, is rewarded.
Right, right. I'm sorry. Not only are you innocent of this murder, you now own all the property of the person that you killed.
But keep up the show. I'm loving it, JL. Congrats on your parlay, your NBA parlay.
Happy President's Day.
And happy President's Day.
I see him retweeting Utah Jazz news. You think... What's his name? Rudy Gobert? Is that their center?
I think it's Gobert.
Gobert. Yeah, that's right. Francais.
Yeah.
You think it's LeBron, Gobert, you know, Harden, you know,
those, or whatever. Those are the big three.
Yeah, he doesn't like Michael Conley. I know that. He's an Ohio State guy. That's your guy.
He is, yes. Yeah. It's okay. It's 10 years ago. Sorry. Later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.